If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. When you find your place, if you would please stand in reverence to God's holy word. I'm going to look at a few verses here, starting in verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now we'll skip over down to verse number 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. And when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted with the priest, blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat, down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, and the edge with the edge of the sword. And I want you to notice, I'm going to flip over to chapter number 7. And here it said, But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, and the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither the people of about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them before the gate, even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Joshua rent his clothes and fell upon the earth, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until evening tide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the cursed thing, and I've also stolen and disassembled also. They have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore Israel, the children of Israel, shall not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is a cursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. And of course, the Bible tells us here that they found out that it was Achan that did it. And the Bible says here in verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from his fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. I want to preach this evening on the double effect of God's presence, the double effect of God's presence. And I'll ask Brother Fred Parse if he would pray for us. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this familiar text, both these chapters are very familiar. The one thing we see is in chapter 6, we see God's presence that ensured victory over the power of the enemy. What showed us that? Well, the ruins of Jericho. Those walls come tumbling down, amen? And those walls laid there, that rubble laid there, and it reminded them of God's bringing the victory. He wrought the victory for them. But then when we come to the next chapter, we see that God is there. But what happens? All of a sudden, we see that they go out there and there's a problem. They look at the enemy and say, you know what, this is nothing compared to Jericho. We don't have to send that many. We'll just send a few out there and they'll take care of everything and everything will be all right. But what happened? They were defeated. And it's interesting here, we see that they were defeated, but yet in the previous one, they got victory. What was the difference? Well, the Bible tells us that there was a problem. See, God had told them in chapter number 6, if we look down there, in verse 17, and the city shall be an accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. But notice he says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. He warned them ahead of time, listen, that defeat of Jericho, this is the first fruits, all that's mine. Don't take anything from it, you leave it there. And one person, and a lot of times we'll look at it and say, well, it was just one person, what does it matter? Well, he gave that warning. He said, no one take of it, amen? And what did he say? Lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse. He's saying not only are you going to affect yourself, you're going to affect everybody else. And so here when they go to the battle here, what do we see? God's presence was there, but what it demanded was because of their sin, because of the one person's sin, God's presence demanded judgment. And that's what happened here. The judgment was that they fell to the enemy. Now, it's interesting here as God reveals the problem to them, at the end, what happens? Well, the Bible tells us here that, you know, they stoned Achan and his family and everything, but at the end, what does it say? They raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So they had all these stones piled up there. Why would they pile them stones there? It was a reminder of what can happen when they allow sin in the camp. It reminded them to think, you know, this is what happened to Israel when they first went after Ai. Now we know after they got rid of the sin in chapter number 8, they got victory. Amen? And so when we look at these things, I want you to notice that if you look at the history of God's people, you look at Israel, you know, you look through here, and what do you see in the Old Testament and New Testament? That God's presence secures victory, but it also, His presence demands holiness. God's a holy God, amen? And so, as God's people, we should never forget this. Yes, God will bring us the victory, but God demands holiness. God's not going to give glory to sin. And that's what would have happened after He told them, don't touch anything. Amen? If Achan would have just waited, you know, if you look at all the battles that they went through, God gave them spoils, except for the first one. If Achan would have just waited, everything would have been all right. But because he didn't, because he did things his own way, he sinned against God, and God had to judge him. And that's what happened. And so here when we look at this, you know, if we as God's people, we need to look at this application here, not only as individuals, but also as a church, God's people. Notice that if we're to walk with God, if we expect His presence to be with us, we must get rid of those things that are not pleasing to Him. Amen? Those are the accursed things that is discussed here. He can't sanction unjust evil, unjudged evil in His people. So all through the book, I think of the book of Judges. All through the book of Judges, that's what we see. God raised a deliverer for Israel. Amen? He wrought them the victory. But soon as they got back into sin, God could not glorify that sin. He had to judge that sin. And so here would come a nation that would take them over. And then what would happen? They would repent and cry out, and God would send a deliverer, and they'd wrought the victory again. And this was a continual cycle of God's people during the time of the judges. Was the fact that they would turn to God, God would take care of them, and then they'd turn away from God, and God would have to judge them. And if He did that to the nation of Israel, do you not think He's going to do it to His church? We as God people need to understand God cannot tolerate sin. He can't. He can't tolerate evil. And so we can't expect the blessings of God when our lives, our hearts are filled with evil. When the wickedness is out there, you know, God can't bless it. And so we need to understand, we need to be watchful. We need to be watchful over our talk, how we talk. We need to be watchful over our walk, our Christian walk. We need to be watchful over our thoughts. Listen, I know Satan can plant a thought in your mind, but you have a power not to think of that thought and get rid of it. And also, we need to be watchful over our habits. There's things we can get into, certain habits, and they're not good, and you just keep doing them over and over and over as a routine because you're used to it. We need to be watchful over that. Too many Christians, you know what? We look at the world today and say, you know what, preacher, it's worse than it's ever been. Yeah, that might be true. I don't know. But the Bible tells us in the end days, things will get worse and worse. And since being a kid, up to this point in my life, I can see things are worse now than they've ever been. As far as the United States, looking at the United States history, things are worse now than they've ever been. Why? The lack of praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You got so many people now that even deny He exists. Then you got many others that want to live their own lives. You know what has happened is we as Christians have lowered our standards. There used to be a time where people would talk about standards and convictions, and those churches, boy, they kept to them standards and them convictions. I'm not saying they were perfect. I'm just saying they would stick to them. Now it's almost like an excuse to say, well, things are worse, so if I act up a little bit, it's not that bad. And we've kind of like letting go of some of our standards and convictions and act as if, well, compared to the world, boy, we really look good. The problem is, the world is not our measuring stick. God's our measuring stick. We need to base our standards and convictions on what the Bible says. Not on, well, look what they do. Well, look at that group over there. Man, our church is really living for the Lord. Well, you used to not do this, now you're doing it. You used to do this for the Lord, now you're not doing it. But yeah, but look at everybody else. Is that an excuse? Well, we shouldn't go knocking on doors because no one else is doing it. I shouldn't witness to people because no one else is doing it. I shouldn't tithe. No one's tithing anymore. Right? I shouldn't help with the Christmas program. Who cares? Someone else can do it. You know what I used to do? I used to do this. Let someone else do it. And we've gotten to that mentality where we want to do less and less for the Lord, but expect Him to bless us. That's the problem. We need to understand, listen, God's a holy God. He's not going to look here and us live substandard Christian lives. He's not going to look at it and say, well, you know, that Grace Baptist Church, that, they used to live better, but you know what? They're living better than others. He's not going to do that. He's going to say, I'm going to have to judge it. I'm going to have to judge their sin. Listen, they judged, God judged, not only Achan, but all of Israel over Achan's sin. I want you to think about this. God's blessed us. He really has. I look, since I've been at this church, God's really blessed us. But we've gone through valleys and mountains, valleys. We've just been up and down, up and down. You know what? Churches do that. We've lost members. We've gained members. You know, it just, things happen. But I wonder if some of this happened because of my sin or your sin. Right? Maybe if we were different, maybe if we would do more of what God wants us to do, maybe we'd have more people. Maybe He would bless us with more things. I mean, He's blessed us with this building. Compared to what we had before, this is wonderful, isn't it? But now I don't want you to look and say, well, are you saying we should look over there and say, well, their building's better than ours. They must be serving God. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that when you do right, when you live the right way that God wants you to live, He's going to bless you for it. In fact, He's going to bless your family for it. He's going to bless your church for it. Amen? So what I'm trying to say is we as God's children need to understand the message here in these two chapters that we see is God's presence was there at both of them. One wrought a victory, one had a defeat. Why did they get the victory? Because they lived for God. Why did they get the defeat? They had sin in the camp. They had a cursed thing. And so that had to be taken care of. And so we, since we are God's children, since God is our measuring stick, not the world, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? God told us what? Be holy for I am holy. Now, if He told us that, should we say, well, you know, I'm doing better than this person. I'm doing better than that person. No, He's telling you to be that way. Our problem is we have a tendency as Christians to look at other people. We look at other people and we start gauging how we are as a Christian. Well, I'm doing better than so-and-so and I'm doing better than so-and-so. Just like churches. Well, our church isn't doing that. We would never do that. Right? Don't look at how do I compare to God? What God wants me to be and where I am, listen, every time we do that, we're going to fall short. But it should make us to strive to be closer to Him. Amen? There should be that thing. And what caused the defeat at Ai? Well, God had to judge sin. Sin was there. Now listen, if that was found out and all this was going on and he told them, don't you touch it or you guys will be accursed, and they touch it and God brought them victory anyway, it wouldn't look good, would it? But the fact he brought it up and showed them, this is the reason you had defeat. And we see that over and over in the Old Testament when the children of Israel disobeyed God, judgment happened. And what happened when they obeyed God and did God's will? God wrought the victory. They didn't win the victory. Gideon and his men, they didn't win victory. God won the victory. Amen? And you'll notice in the Old Testament, when they did get the victory, who did they give the credit to? They gave it to God. Because that's where it belonged. A lot of times we think, oh, look what we did. No, look what God did. Amen? It's all about Him. I was so sad to hear of the passing of Brother Bill. I tell you what, he had such a kindred spirit. One of the most humble men I've ever met. And just being around him would convict my heart of the humbleness he had in serving God and living for the Lord. And you know what? Here he was, he could hardly walk. Toward the end of his life, he had a lot of health issues and everything else. He had a hard time even going out of the house. And he would apologize to me. I'm sorry I can't make it to visitation. I would go if I could. And I'd say, I know you would. You don't have to apologize to me. But he was a witness wherever he went. Amen? We need more. What's so bad is people like that are dying off, and the people that are coming up aren't even looking at it like that. They're looking at it as, you know what, Brother Gale, I've got this to do this week, and I got this to do this week, and I got this to do this week, and if I have time, I'll do something for God. Well, if God would take care of these things, then I could do more for Him. No, you wouldn't. You need to put God first. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His what? Righteousness. First. He'll take care of everything else. That's the problem. Most of us, we want to compare with other people. Well, you know, it's easy for us, Brother Juan, to compare ourselves to the Roman Catholics because they're not following this Bible. I can honestly stand here, I'm not bragging on this church, but I can honestly stand here and say, you know what, we're teaching better than just about 90% of these churches that are out here. Why? Because they're not preaching the Bible. But does that mean that everything we do is right? No. Do we have room for improvement? Yes. That's why we need to look in the mirror and say, God, I'm doing what I need to, but I know I need to do more. God, show me what you want me to do. God, is there something in my life that's holding us back or holding me back or holding my family back? That's what we need to look at. See, listen, they found Achan's sin out, and it shows us the result. What was the result? The destruction of him and his family. That's why we need to really look at this and think of the seriousness of this, is the fact that it doesn't just affect you, it affects your family. It affects the church. Amen? And when we look at this, when we see the result of Jericho, the fallen walls was a reminder to them that God wrought them the victory. When you looked at Jericho and those walls were around it, it looked like there is no way you can get there. There's no possible way. They didn't have weapons, did they? They just listened to God by faith and believed God, and God brought the victory. And then they come to Ai and they're thinking, this is nothing compared to Jericho. But you know, they didn't go to God and pray, God, show us, are we right? Should we do this? Should we do what should we do? They just say, hey, there's hardly anyone here. Let's just go. We can just take a few of them. We'll just take them out there. We'll destroy the enemy and everything will be all right. And that's the problem. Now when those people, when Israel would go by, it was called the Valley of Achor. You know why? That word means trouble. The valley of trouble. They run into trouble because of sin. And you know what? Every one of us run into trouble because of sin. Amen? God will never, as I said, glorify sin. Amen? He won't do it. So, when we look at this, we need to understand God will judge sin. Amen? He'll have things happen because of sin. Your sin can defeat your Christian life. It can defeat others around you. It can put them in a defeated state. It can defeat your church. All those things can happen. It wasn't until after they dealt with it that they gained the victory. So, let's get rid of our sin. So it won't cost us, won't cost our families, won't cost our church. We need God's presence to bring us victory, not God's judgment. And God's judgment will come if we are disobedient to Him. Now we need to understand and remember, listen, God is a God of forgiveness. He hasn't judged you yet. If you stay in that sin, He will. Ask for forgiveness. He'll forgive you. Amen? It'll be forgiven, but you have to ask. If you're in sin right now, ask God to forgive you. He'll forgive you. If that sin has been forgiven, He's not going to judge you. If it's forgiven, it's gone in His eyes. Amen? Now, there's consequences to sin. Amen? But as far as forgiveness, He forgives. Amen? He can forgive you. And when we look at the history of God's ways with His people, we understand there are two things. Now, it reminded me of a movie. And I bet some of these young people can attest to it. Anybody ever see the movie Spider-Man? Why did I think that they would raise their hands? All right. Now, in the movie, his Uncle Ben gives him a piece of advice. Does anyone remember what he said? With great power comes great good. I knew it. With great power comes great responsibility. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, that's a movie. You think, well, that's good advice, actually. With great power comes great responsibility. Well, let's put it over here. What do we see here? With great privilege comes great responsibility. We're a privileged people. Now, I want you to think about Israel, how privileged they were. They had a God that delivered them from bondage. Amen? Brought them out. There He was taking care of them as they went through the desert. They didn't listen to Him, so they had to wander in the wilderness. But what did He do? He fed them day and night, gave them water out of a rock, had manna from the... Man, can you imagine that? Food coming out of the sky? They didn't have any problems with their shoes or sandals, their clothes. God took care of them. What a privilege to have a God that will take care of you. He guarded them against their enemies. He did all those things for them. They were very privileged. But you know what? When you're privileged for what God's done for you, you're responsible for doing the right things for God. You have a responsibility. Charlie, the fact that God come and dealt with your heart and saved you, the fact that God loves you and that He's done so much for you, you have a responsibility to serve Him. And see, that's the thing God was telling Israel. You had a privilege of Me being your God, and yet you went against Me. Amen? You're responsible for that light. Amen? I believe the Bible teaches that there'll be people in hell that will suffer more than other people in hell because of the light that they received. There's some that won't get much light at all. There's some that got a lot of light, but they continue to reject God. And I believe they're going to suffer more than those that got a little light. You say, well, wait a minute, there's some countries that haven't heard from God. The very fact that this earth is here proves in Romans chapter 1 that there is a Creator. Amen? Right? Is that not what Romans 1 tells us? There's how you could look at this earth and say that it came from a little speck, which no one knows where it come from. Well, who created the speck? Where did it come from? What caused it to boom? What caused the Big Bang? Can I tell you a little secret? You know what caused the Big Bang? God said it and bang, it happened.
Amen.
That's the Big Bang. Amen? But because Israel was privileged, they've gotten all the blessings of God. God said, now you're responsible. You're responsible to live for me and serve me. I'm your creator. And you acknowledge I am, so you need to do what I tell you to do. And everything was going to be all right. And so he guided them, he guarded them, he shielded them, he sheltered them, he fed them, he took care of them, he safeguarded against the enemy. We see all that privilege, but it's connected to responsibility. We have a responsibility to serve him because of what he did for us. You know what? I was on my way to hell. You were on your way to hell. And God saw fit to have the Holy Spirit deal with our hearts and show us our lost condition and save us when we asked Him to save us. And we have the light. We can read this Bible. We can understand things. Now, there's sometimes we have a little hard time with certain things, but for the most part, we can understand what the Bible tells us. We have that privilege of knowing it. Now listen, there's people out there. I know when I was lost, certain things I didn't think it was that bad. Right? But now I got the light that says, that's wrong. And if I act just like the lost people act, does that bring in God glory? All you young boys on the front row here. I used to, Brother Gail, I used to think, well, none of them are like 17, 18, so none of them have had any temptation on drugs and alcohol, but man, it's starting in junior highs now. I heard one time of someone in elementary school. Can I tell you this? You guys know better. Now, some of them don't because they haven't been raised in church. But you guys know better. When they come to you, just say no. Because you're responsible. Because God's going to hold you accountable for that. Amen? He's going to hold you accountable because you know better. They don't. Now listen, they reject God. They're going to die, and unfortunately, they're going to go to hell. But you as God's people, your decisions will not only affect you, it's going to affect them and others around them. What's to say, okay, this one guy comes up to you, hey, come on, look, come on, let's go out drinking. Let's go out drinking. Come on, guys. You say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm a Christian. Oh, you're one of those. Oh. You know what? When he gets into trouble, he might look and say, can you tell me about God? And you may plant that seed. You may plant that seed, and he might get saved. Not only might he get saved, his family might get saved. And you know what? God may call him to preach. You know what? You're going to have a part in that. But think, if God has this plan and you cave in, do you think that guy's going to be one to God? I don't think so. See, it's important that you make the right decision. I know it's tough. I've been a teen. Believe it or not, I know I'm old, but I was a teenager at one time. I can tell you, the hardest time in my life as far as that peer pressure and giving into it was being a teenager. That is the hardest time. You're going to have it hard as a teenager. But once you get past that, if you can just say, you know what, I'm going to stay faithful to God, I'm going to be a Christian. Once you get past that, it's not that bad. So that means all of us need to pray for one another, but we especially need to pray for teenagers.
Amen.
Amen. Some of them, you know, their home life, they're not They don't have the best of home lives. You know, their parents aren't bringing them to church. Amen? No telling what they're around or what they're exposed to. You need to pray for them. You need to lift them up in prayer. But it all comes down to this. Because the privilege God has given us to serve Him, amen, the fact that He saved us and He's allowing us to be a witness for Him, we're responsible for that. The Bible tells me I'll stand before Him one day and give an account. And can I tell you this? There's some things that I'm going to be so ashamed of. But there'll be some things I won't be ashamed of. But shouldn't that be a motivation for you to want to do what's right instead of what's wrong? Listen, I believe you have an appointed time to die. I have an appointed time to die. And I believe no matter what Satan does, no matter what power he thinks he has, he cannot change that date. Do you agree with me? Amen. Say amen. The only one that can change that date, I believe, is you. If you become a Christian and you know what's right, and you drag His name through the mud, He may get to a point where He takes you out early. I don't think any other time. I think that's the one time that your appointed day might come sooner than later because of the fact that you have brought a reproach to His name. And you're like, well, what about some of those people on TV robbing people? Well, some of them are. The problem is they're not saved, so that doesn't, you know, that's different. But I'm talking about a saved person. A saved person, we can sin and we need to get things right. If we keep doing it, if we keep bringing a reproach to His name, we're going to have to give an account. There may be a point where He said, that's enough. I've had enough and that's it. But what we need to understand is that we're responsible for what God has given us. He's given us this Bible. Amen. Think about that. The people in the Old Testament, they didn't have this. Right? People in the New Testament didn't have all this. We have the complete Word of God. Amen. The Bible says it's not to be added to or taken away. So this is the complete revelation that God has given us. He's not going to give any more. And this Bible tells me He's coming back. Amen. He came one time, and it happened, and He's coming again, and it will happen. So because of that, we need to look at stories like this with Joshua and Jericho and Ai and understand and realize that God's presence is important. It's important to us. But we also need to understand that if we're right with Him, He'll bring that victory. But if we're not right with Him, He'll have to judge that sin. Amen. You might not get what you want. Amen. But God will always give you what you need. And because of what He's done, if He didn't do anything, Brother Saray, if He didn't do anything else for me other than save me, that was more than I deserved. So because of that, shouldn't I do all I can to serve Him? Listen, if He didn't give me a home, if He didn't give me a wife and kids, if He didn't give me a church, He gave me more than I deserved. But He saved me and He gave me those things. He saved you, He gave you those things. We are responsible. We'll give an account one day. And you might think you get away with it here, but you'll stand before Him one day. Amen? That's why it's important to confess those things. Get things right now. Instead of waiting. Because as I said, you know, a lot of times when we deal with lost people, we tell them, you know, you don't know if you have a promise of tomorrow, right? Well, can I say this? Saved people need to understand that too. Because if you don't settle things here, you're going to have to settle them up there. I'd rather settle them here than up there. Amen? Because you settle them up there, that head will be down, won't it? If you settle them here, amen. Plus, you want to make sure that you're not affecting anyone in a negative way. As I said, I heard an evangelist one time say, and I've never forgot it, he said, every person you meet, every single person, Mondo, that you ever meet, make sure they're closer to the Lord after they met with you than they were before. Never make it farther away. And I have a feeling sometimes that we Christians have pushed people further away instead of drawing them closer to. Amen? We have a responsibility because who our Savior is, amen, we're responsible. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. And